some sort of a small divrei chizuk or something with some of the mesmachim who are supposed to be involved in the Chag HaSmicha. So that's a 2:30. So I have to pop into that digitally, I guess, you know, just to say hello. So that's going to keep us a little shorter than even expected. Avram, what are we to say about Sashir Tuesday? 1:15 or 1?
1:15.
Yeah, we're trying to make things a little shorter. Again, I know I totally did not achieve that yesterday. again, we'll always have time afterwards for people who want to stay on for questions. But in terms of the actual shiur itself, we're going to try to be a little bit more diligent, because again, I know the staring at the screen thing is not the greatest. So anyways, today will be, I guess, overcompensation in the other direction. So we, okay. So I want to start the next topic very briefly, just to, you know, register the interesting basic, you know, the meta halachic question, I guess, of in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Yadam. So to do that, let's just get, the first perspective in very quickly. Let's hear from, let's see who's on the screen here. Simcha.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you could just run through the Gemara very quickly.
We'll start with one second.
The one on, just very quickly, we've done it before, Hamad Beis, just the, I want to just hit the highlights quickly.
Okay. Amr Abchanan?
Amr Abchanan. Sounds good. Amr Abchanan.
Amr Abchanan, Amr Yaakov Ba'idi, Amr Yoshua Ben Levi, Mishmer Bar Kapara, Magam Leil Beistino, Nimnu Al Shkidas Kuzi Vasruva. Amar le Rizeir le Yaakov bar Idi Shem Shem lo Shem a Rebbe Ela b'she'en Yisrael Omer al Gabo. Meaning, we're not sure if.
All right, say, and then this part we did. So this part we're good. Okay. Meaning he couldn't believe it because he thought it was very draconian, and we discussed, of course, at length, you know, this question, you know, about Kuti. We don't need to revisit that. Right. Even though we spent so much time on it, it's still a little bit hard to believe. Right. But definitely we've invested in that. Go ahead. So Amalei,
Dmei Haimi Rabbanan, Delo Gemiri,
In Shishmaita. That's like a question mark. Like, what? Right. Meaning, right. Yeah. Meaning, like, I'm not, I meant what I said. Go ahead. Right. Excellent.
Okay. So
now it becomes the next question. That is, was he Kabbal or not? Go ahead.
Tashma, the Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amr of Asi, Anir Isi, as Rabbi Yochanan, Shachal Bushkitas Kusi, the Afra Rabbi Asi, Achal Bushkitas Kusi, the Tehiba, Rabbi Zera, Lo Shamia, Lehu, Dehi Hava Shamia, Lehu, Havin Makabli Le, O Dilma, Shami Lehu, Velo Kiblua.
So what's the story with that? So what's the suffix?
Suffix is when we saw Rabbi Asi eating Shkitas Kusi, we're not sure whether he either didn't know about the exception, the new Gzera, or he heard about it but didn't think it was binding.
Correct. Okay. So the Gemara says no, it cannot be.
Hunter Pashka the Nafshe, Mistabra de Shamale, Velo Kibluha, the Isa Gadaita, Lo Shamalehu. I have a shamalahu have a makable la kam kabula hechim istaya milsa de mechli sura hash to behemton shal tzadikim any kash brachom maybe to call all yadon tzadikim atzman lo kol shikin.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds like a strange raya, but it's fascinating anyway. And that is that there is this kind of principle, simcha, that what?
That we assume that tzaddik wouldn't eat dvarim esurim b'shogeg.
There would be some siyata d'shmaya would protect a tzaddik from violating in this way. Because that's a very fascinating idea, and it appears in a bunch of other Gemaras. You can look at the Mesoras HaShas, and it appears in this sugya very prominently I'm in a few other cases as well. So the first case is, of course, the problem is, you know, on the one hand, like, you know, can you really rely on this and what is it exactly? It means the notion of siyata d'shmaya is a notion that is well established. And it's part of our religious worldview. And it's important to, you know, recognize it. It's part of like a hashkafic, halachic, you know, broader perspective that, you know, sees the presence of the Rabbanu Shlalom in, you know, as being the omnipresence of the Rabbanu Shlalom, and also his impact, his yudia, his hashkacha, the same things that the Ramban accentuates when he always talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, are implicit here, meaning there's a siyata d'shmaya is a well-established concept. It's based on the assumption that the Rabbanu Shalom knows, that the Rabbanu Shalom cares, and that the Rabbanu Shalom even intervenes. So that, you know, that's not surprising, although it's always worth reiterating. What's of course even more shocking here, not shocking, what's an escalation here, is the assumption that siyata d'shmaya, you know, as I just described it, isn't just something that we hope for, but something that has a halachic, legal status. That's what's implied by this Gemara. How's that implied by this Gemara? Daniel. Let's see Daniel's name. Daniel Zolti?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so how is it implied by this Gemara? I'm saying based on this Gemara, the implication would be that this isn't just something that, you know, we know sometimes to be true, or that the basis of which philosophically is true, but this Gemara escalates it because... Or in what way? Daniel,
you're muted.
He wouldn't have eaten the Shita Nevela because he wouldn't have taken it.
But the Gemara's bringing a raya here, right? The Gemara's raising a factual question. They want to know whether or not the contrary evidence was based on ignorance, he didn't get the word, right? Or when they disagreed. So the Gemara says it must be they disagreed, because otherwise, you know, the proof is, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe takal al yana. It's one thing to say that the Rabbanu Shalom knows, that the Rabbanu Shalom intervenes, you know, et cetera, that there are examples of that. It's quite something else to say that that's a normative law and you can prove things based on it. That's all I'm trying to point out. Nothing particularly fancy, but right. Okay. Now, what's also striking about this is a second. So that's number one. This idea of siyata d'shmaya emerges as an important factor as a normative, a semi-normative, we'll call it, factor. And we'll see whether the other cases in the Gemara establish that as well. Simcha, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like Gemara also thinks that the siyata shemaya applies differently to based off what that person holds. Meaning, it's not that had shitas kusi been like a legitimate gzeira, would Rav Asi have eaten it, but only if Rav Asi would have accepted it. Sounds like Rav Gamliel definitely wouldn't have eaten it by Shogeg.
That's a great point. To say it again, just louder or clearer?
Meaning, sorry, can you hear me here?
Yeah. Okay. I can hear it. I'm sure I've
it sounds like Rav Asi accepting the Xera is going to affect whether the Siyata Shemaya that he wouldn't eat it or not.
Correct.
It's not like there's a halachic truth about whether there's a basis for there to be Xera or not. But for someone has to accept the Xera in order for him to be prevented in a Shemaya from eating it.
Yeah. So meaning this Siyata Shemaya, and again, you know, it's a fascinating idea, works within the halachic system, we'll call it. Meaning in terms of what he himself, had he had all the information, would have concluded. Because That's the har that Simcha's making, which is a great har. I mean, it's not the question objectively whether there should be a gzeira or there shouldn't be a gzeira, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's whether or not, but we just don't want him, because of ignorance, you know, to fall into something that otherwise he would have been protected from. That's what Siyata Dishmaya is about. So it basically, and this is like, you know, ironic, and it's very typically halachic, you know, even as we're talking about a concept, you know, which implies divine intervention in a way, you know, in almost like a miraculous way, and in which, you know, one could have like perceived this as maybe, you know, reinforcing man's passivity, you know, in favor of, you know, divine intervention, etc. But the intervention here is actually to support his own independent conclusion, right? That's what Simcha's saying, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point. And I think we're going to see that even more so a little bit later on, you know, when we talk about the actual case of Bemt and Shel Tzadikim, you know, the Chamor Pinchas Ben Yair, because part of the story there, I'm giving away the secret in advance. I don't know if we'll get there now because we have to finish in a few minutes, but we'll start with this tomorrow if we don't. But part of the story there also is not objectively what the status of the food is, but whether halachically, you know, the proper protocols are being observed. So even where, I think this is like such an important point, even where divine intervention is being promoted to a more central normative kind of a position, it is in conjunction with total respect for the role of the Talmid Chacham, and by extension, the role of the process, you know, the independent process of halacha. It's a kind of a lo b'shamayim hi, even in the context of Siyata Dishmaya. And I think that's a really important point. So I think I was going to mention that later on, but I'm glad you brought it up already. What's also fascinating, so that's one point. Okay, so just point 1A and B, we'll call it. 1A is that this is, you know, you could have said this is a very nice Gemara, a nice Divrei Agadah, or even if it's not a Divrei Agadah, you know, but it's it tells us something very important, but that, you know, we probably know, and that is that there's something called Siyata Dishmaya and Ashkacha. It's more than that. A, it sounds like this plays a normative role. And B, is that the normative role that it plays isn't one which downgrades man's responsibility, but on the contrary, supports an upgraded respect for the process, you know, and his input into it. Okay. The second issue, that's 1A and B, we'll call it. The second issue, of course, is to figure out, like, when does this apply and when doesn't it apply? And that, of course, is the job that the Rishonim, or some of them at least, you know, picked up on. Namely, if you're going to apply the principle of Enakarishu Baruch maybe Takala Yado, then basically you should have a situation where what? Simcha?
What? I missed the last word.
If you'd apply it across the board in all cases,
yeah,
right,
then Tzadikim would never be able to do any Isurim.
Yeah, then you would never have any Tzadik ever, you know, involved in any Isurim. And we know that that's not true, right? Ein tzadik ba'aretz, you know, asher lo yecheta. We know that to be the case. Ramban's going to quote that also. But even without the Ramban, we know that. We know it from experience, and we know it from everything else. So we know that this is a Gemara that is occasionally invoked, very much in our sugya and a few other places. And more often, that, again, part of the greatness of Yadus is that we're, you know, pretty honest about our mistakes, and that, you know, we make a lot of mistakes. Baruch Hashem for all the mistakes, you know, that we make, you know, that produce a deeper understanding in the halacha, you know. if some of those crazy things hadn't happened, especially the ones that happened by Shogig, right, we wouldn't have been inspired, you know, to push the parameters of the halakha, you know, in a very, you know, responsible but aggressive way. You know, it's the Maisa Shiba Magensas and the like, all the crazy things that people come, you know, up or, you know, which expanded our portion of the law. So we're not looking for really terrible stuff. We're not looking for, you know, quarantines and, you know, people being ill, Khalila, and all of that. But the crazy things that happen in the world, some by mistake and some also by whatever, you know, by hashgacha, whatever it is, these are the things that test us. And, you know, sometimes they push the parameters and they force us to come to grips with, you know, ideas, concepts, priorities, you know, authentic self-identification. This is Monday, so we can get a little off, you know, tangent. Okay, so the question is, when do we apply this concept and when not? So it's curious already, the first example we have here, Simcha is?
The Kitas Kusi.
Yeah. So why is that? What do you think about that?
Well, sounds like whatever the rules for this din is going to be, it's going to include eating Shchitas Kusi.
So again, let me say it this way, that first of all, it goes a little bit to what you were, the point 1B, I guess, which is, it's interesting, here we're not talking about, you know, something which is like an obvious objective violation of the Isser. Right? I mean, this isn't an obvious Nevela. Yeah. It's not an obvious Chelev. It's based on the Gzeira of Puti. But if we now want to assess it, right, that makes it difficult. And, you know, it opens up the whole topic, you know, that we spoke of previously in Kuti. We even spoke then and made the linguistic ha'ara, right? There might have been different stages of this din, of this gezeira, right? Because initially, the way that it's formulated, nimnu al shchitas kuti v'yasruha, right, Eitan, as opposed to? Eitan Hain? As opposed to the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara says
that at the end of the day, it wasn't allowed. We weren't allowed to eat their shchita.
No, in both cases, we're saying that. But the formulation originally was asrua, right? Nimnu al shchitas kuti v'asrua. And in the end of the Gemara, is saying nimnu al akutim, and what? Seth? I don't remember.
Nasa goyim gemurim.
Vaso goyim gemurim. So as we pointed out, and I think we noticed that the, if I recall, in the Tshuva the Rashbash, right? Everybody remember it fondly, I hope? Matthew's nodding, right? Matthew remembers the Rashbash fondly. So I think there was Rashbash who made the linguistic ha'ara about that. Namely, so what am I trying to get at here? What I'm trying to say is, in question number two, which is about which dinim do we say Eino Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yada? So one could have thought, if I'd like asked you, I told you, like, it certainly doesn't apply, as Simcha pointed out, across the board, because there are plenty of great men who make mistakes. We don't always say Eino Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yada. And this is what pushes the Rishonim to try to struggle to figure out when do we say it, when we don't. Right, it's the exception to say rather than the rule. But you might have thought, right, maybe say it about the worst kind of Isurim, the Dvarim Achi Chamurim. Certainly they should be Doraisa, I would have thought. Maybe they should be things that are particularly, you know, Achil Hashem, or particularly undermining on a personal level, corrupting of the soul. We'll see. Maybe some people think that. But what I would have thought, for sure only Doraisas. For sure only Mekubal Doraisas. For sure only first tier, you know, very toxic, very Chamor the right Gimel Averos, like our whole, you know, previous discussion, when maybe Shabbos, maybe Abad Zara, maybe Rotseach, maybe Gili Arayos, right? Those would be good candidates. Instead, what do we find? You know, to our surprise, I'm not sure that there's an answer for anything, but what do we find? Eli Shapiro?
We're talking about food.
Well, number one, we're talking about food here. Tosus thinks that it's limited to food. But it's not just food. It's a gzera of Rabban Gamliel and Beis Dino that's even controversial. Right? The fact that it's controversial, you know, feeds Simcha's point, you know, 1B. But in a way, it makes it more surprising that we apply this halacha. It's not a davar hamekubal, and it may not even be a din daraisa, and it may not even be a din in the cheftza. That's the point I want to make. And that's where the two formulations, namely nimnu al shchitas, you know, kuti, you know, could have said it's an Yisra Gavra. The kutim remain Jews, on the original gzeira I'm talking about. Maybe even in the Maskara, we'll get that said, but they remain Jews. However, we're not allowed to eat from their shchita anymore. And we're not allowed to drink their wine anymore. A very limited takana, which is prescriptive and action-oriented. It's a policy thing. At least in the Maskana, if we take it literally, it's a saum kegayim gemurim l'chal advarim. So then it's another way of saying you're not allowed to eat shchitas nevela. Is it kol shekein if you have real nevela? Interesting. Right? Or maybe neither 1B. It's not just also 1B. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make is, right, when do you apply this halacha and what does that teach you? You could have thought only Doraisas, only Isurei Heftza, only Dvar Machamurim Bioser, first tier Isurim, as reflected in things like Mumrius or Yeharig Vayav or, you know, and so on and so forth. But even Kutim, what are the other cases in the Gemara? Azriel. In our Gemara. I think you're muted. Azriel? I'm definitely not hearing you. I don't know.
I was on mute. That's Harvest Dubai.
Huh? What do you think about that?
What?
What do you think about the Demai?
Well, Demai is meaning not different than like Nevela or like even a Basar.
Is or isn't? Is like Nevela or not like Nevela? I'm not hearing. Let's hear.
Looks like he's frozen. Yeah.
Oh, something's frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole thing is frozen?
No, I think just him.
Oh, okay. Okay, we look forward to getting you back, Azriel. Okay. So I'm going to have to end soon. So let me just get to, you know, move a little more quickly. So either way, Matthew, so what's the story? The other cases?
Yeah, so Tarovas Demai also is like a Din D'Rabbanan with Demai.
Havamina certainly Tarovas Demai. Okay, we'll read through this Shaklavatari tomorrow. What else?
Also Meiser with Rabbi Meir.
So is that real Meiser? Again, so on Bavamad Aleph, it's Tarovas Demai. Let's just make this for the cases. Tarovas Demai is surprising or not?
Matthew? Yeah, because not only is that a Din D'Rabbanan, it's also talking about like it's not even Be'en anymore.
Exactly. Although that might actually help us a little bit. We'll see tomorrow. Demai is not a din d'oraisa. Not only is Demai not a din d'oraisa, it's actually a miyut.
Yeah.
Which may end up making it better, but, you know, on the surface makes it worse. I mean, lighter, right? Yeah. Rov ame aretz are actually ma'aser, miyutam are not, and they made this din of Demai. So that's in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe takala yadam. Unless it's kol shukuv, okay, maybe. You wonder. But even if it is kol, because meaning that's an Isur Chefza, an Isur Gat. What is that? Okay, then on Vav Amud Beis to Zayin Amud Aleph, you have what? The Yerek of Beit Shan, right, Matthew? Yes. What you're saying? So
yeah,
what is Yerek of Beit Shan? You said Meiser. That's a Dindaraisa, right?
Yeah, but it's in a controversial area. Like, we're not sure if that place is actually Chayv and Meiser.
Oh, excellent. That's why I wanted you to look at Tosis. That's why I wrote in the brackets in the Mar Makomos, Ulefir Abinatam Betosis Vav Amud Beis. What is that?
I didn't get a chance to see the Tosfos.
Oh, but you're either way, so even better because you're anticipating it. Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion, Moshe. Is Jonah Chill with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Well, there you are. You're Jay.
Right here.
Okay, good. I've been wondering about you. How have you been?
I've been good.
Excellent. So what do you think, Jonah? About Rabbeinu
Tam? I didn't get a chance to look at the Tosfos.
Okay, you have till tomorrow.
Perfect.
Okay. Should we, do we have to do something to get you here visually? Like, should we send you some like internet power or something?
Or you could just end the quarantine and then we'll be good to go.
What can we, oh, end the quarantine.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll speak to Donald. Moshe?
I didn't see Tosfos either.
What? We can't see Moshe either. Are you there, Moshe?
Yeah, I didn't see Tosfos.
Okay. So what do you think, guys? What's it going to be? Tzvi saw it, probably.
I did not see Tosfos yet.
Wow. Okay. In that case, really not fair to ask. How about Zev Lowy?
I don't want to embarrass all these guys that didn't see it.
I hear that. Anyway, sir, Beta Tom... Tosfos Vav Amud Beis says that the whole sugya of being Mati Yerek Bebeit Shan, in his opinion, because of the question, like if it was really Maestros, maybe it should be Chayiv in Chutz La'aretz, at least Aratzos Asmuchos as well. So he says that it's actually talking about Demai. So imagine that. Hay Amud Beis is talking about the Gzera of Kuti in the first phase, where maybe it's just, you know, a prescription. Vav Amud Aleph is talking about Demai and Tarova's Demai at that. Zayin Amud Aleph, or Vav Amud Beis Zayin Amud Aleph, which is talking about Yerek Bebeit Shan as an example, the Pashtet Satch Talmud Maestros, meaning Tevel Daraisa, but that isn't true either, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Kortor Ben Tam's talking about Demai. Okay. And what's the fourth one? Oh, Azriel's back. You're unbuffered? Unfrozen?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. What about Zayin Amud Beis? What's that about?
I didn't see Zayin Amud Beis yet.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Evan? You see it yet?
Yeah. Also seems to be about Meiser or... feeding it to the donkey.
Meiser or Demai?
Good question.
What's the case of Zayin Amud Beis? What's the actual case of Zayin Amud Beis? That's the last, that's the end until we get to the Agad. That's the last case. That's where we finally get to what? Evan?
Is it the donkey case at the end, or is that?
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah, the fun. So, that's the Uber. You know, like that's the case. That's we finally got the Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey.
So that case seems to be either Demai or Shvius.
Demai or Meiser.
Or Meiser.
Right? But Pashtus, it's according to most Rishonim, it's the simple shot in the Gemara is that it is Demai. Right? Right, he refused to eat the what happened there, Evan?
The donkey refuses to eat the demai.
Yeah, he said Dilma lo ma'asrinan asrinu the achal. Right, so So he said, "Ania zeholachas lasas ritzon kona." Yeah, tem achilim also tavalim. That sounds like real. But then the Gemara says, "Ami mechayva hatnan halakech lezera lebehema vekemach laoros the shemen lever shemen lasach basakelim potem yadmai." Right. So the Gemara says, "Lo shanu alash shalakem mitchila lebehema." That Mishnah, right, that Brisa is with regard to what?
Demai. Apparently, Demai.
So it's not even Demai.
Again,
it still might be Meiser, as we'll see. Because the question is, did the Chamor, Pinchas Ben Yair, refuse to eat it because of Demai? Or refuse to eat it because, you know, the Rabban Shalom was protecting him and it was really Meiser? And it was Tevel. I mean, it still could be. But then the question is, what's the halachic discussion? So that's something we have to get back to. And that's something that's relevant also to Simcha's point from before, meaning about the reality, the Kamishmaya Galia, and the halachic process. So we'll get back to that. The small point to make, I'm just going to finish this off for one more minute. I just want to get the three shitas in quickly, is that the cases in the Gemara, surprisingly, are all cases which one could have thought were just Isurei Gavra, Durabanan, Xeros, etc. This is not the Gimel of Eros or its equivalent. Okay? I don't know the answer to that necessarily. Maybe it's even in these contexts. Maybe these require more chizuk. Maybe they're more dependent on, you know, the actual hachra of the chachamim, which is what I suspect. Either way, what is Rabbeinu Tam's view about when we apply this din and when we don't? Because Tosfos already asked this question. Matthew?
It's specifically to food.
What?
Specifically in cases of food.
Yeah. So Tosa says it's a din in macholas, in food. And why?
So he says it's a ganai for a tzaddik to eat, like macholas asuros.
Yeah. So it's just protecting the personal integrity of tzaddikim. Did you get a chance to see the nitziv?
Yeah, he says like Tim Tamalev.
Yeah.
It's like something
that's. So, of course, it connects up with what we spoke about earlier in the year, really enough. But what's his idea? He obviously doesn't like simply like Gnai Hula, right?
Yeah, it's something that's like affecting. Tomorrow. It's something that's like affecting their actual neshamas. So, like by tzaddikim, we want to, like Hashem, make sure their neshamas aren't like affected in any way by these foods.
Yeah. So, this is a very interesting idea. But this is the Nitziv's way of trying to kind of objectify it a little more. But then the problem with the Nitziv is that you would think that it would then be restricted to foods that are really objectively metamte misalev, right? But, you know, if we're talking about demai or tarovas demai, maybe even an Isur Gavra of kuti, if it isn't real, as if it's real nevela and it's real tevel, that's one thing, right? Even Tevel is a little bit more of a chiddush, frankly, than Nevela, right? Because Tevel is simply is absent Tafrasha, right? It's hard to, you see from there that Mitamte Misalev is a spiritual idea, you know, partly connected again to the halachic reality of it being Macholas Asura. But it's even much harder to say that about Isurei Gavra, when no one's going to say that eating on Yom Kippur, right, is mitamte misalev. Well, indeed, Tosas themselves are mechalik between eating on Yom Kippur and eating before Havdalah and eating macholas asuros, right? I'm just pointing out that in the cases of the Gemara, should we conclude that lis midrabanan demais macholas asuros? Whether we treat it as really suffic tevel? Even tevel, not so simple. So this bikitsur, Rabbeinu Tam's view is that it's about achila and ganai. The Nitziv, we'll speak more about it tomorrow, is about Mitamte Misalev. What about the Ramban?
So he says when it affects other people. So in that case, Hashem will protect the tzaddik.
Oh, so this I think is the most interesting. First of all, the Rabban dismisses Rabbeinu Tam because I don't see what the yichus is of achila. It's interesting though when you talk about the nitziv, because the Ramban in his Perash al HaTorah, as we saw earlier in the year, is actually very big on the Metamte Mishalev idea. Meaning that eating Macholos Asuros, the real ones, is something that is spiritually toxic. What's fascinating is that he could believe that and think that it has nothing to do with the special yichus of Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevi Takol Al Yado. Right, Matthew? You agree?
Yeah.
So what Ramban suggests instead, I think, is very, very inspiring, very important. Namely,
how Hashem is protecting the tzaddik from making sure other people aren't going to be nichshal as a result of them.
Yeah, I think it identifies, you know, number one, the interesting question of the relation. This touches on the relationship between personal standards and your responsibility for your fellow Jew. Again, in most, you know, usually we say, you know, you have that responsibility, but a lot of people see it as in a secondary way, kind of like a chayecha kodmin the chayechavercha. Once you've taken care of chayecha, and there in certain dinim, of course, that law does apply. You know, in kiton shamayim, you have a right to save yourself. You're supposed to save yourself first. Chayecha kodmin the chayechavercha. But in terms of assessing, like, what's the more important role or where you need to exercise greater responsibility or where there's less margin for error, it's fascinating. You might say, oh, well, this makes Yahadus unique. You know, Ko Yisrael Rebim Zela Zez more. Or this might be a special din, and I think this is probably true. I think both are probably true, but I think this is more true. And that is that it might be a special din in Manhigim. Name of the Talmud Chacham, again, in most religions, the sainted, elite, religious personality, people live vicariously through him, or, the fact that he has his own standards. But in Yadus, which is very much, a democratic religion, especially if we're talking about Manhigim, through Talmud Torah, which is a Kesser, which is Munach V'Omed. But in general, the idea of leadership, including responsibility and being a role model and the impact that you have on others, I think this Ramban really highlights that point. Meaning your personal standards, the Rabbeinu Shalom is not going to tip, can't rely on his intervention for Siyata Dishmaya. But in terms of you being a proper model and having a good, influence on others, right? That's bigger than his personal standards. That's about Klal Yisrael. I think this is something to think about in general, hashkafically. This is a halachic application. And in terms of, things like some years ago when we learned about Masechet Shabbos, spent a lot of time on the topic of Chate Kadesha Tezaka Chavercha. And there's, again, a lot of evidence that, well, number one, that's an important issue. It's like another test case for Chayecha Kodmin, as opposed to your responsibility to others. But in addition to that, it may have special parameters regarding Talmid Chachamim, Manhigim. Okay, so we'll pick up with these Shitas, the Tosas, the Nitziv, the Ramban. I want to talk about Shita Mekubetzes and the Marsha. One's in the Mar Mekomos. First, we'll speak about these tomorrow, and then we'll try to figure out a little better what's going on with, Tarova's Demai. I may want to compare that to some Chametz issues so we can get a little Chametz into things like Kitnios and, Chametz overall of Pesach, this idea of, Taroves and Tam. Okay, so Mirat Hashem tomorrow, 1:15. Okay, I've got to run now because I want to make it to this other call quickly. And either we're going to try to be a little more careful on the months. Have a great day, everybody, and looking forward to tomorrow.